quantitative easing was the creation of money. So if there's mechanisms that can be found to basically prop up the banks, why can't the American people get propped up once in a while?
One of them is a member of the billionaire club, but the other one has actually been quite an ally and an advocate for the billionaire club. So the American people deserve to hear from people who are not part of that economic elite and the political system that serves it.
I think this whole campaign, this whole presidential race is just desperate for some issues, and I'd like to think straight talk.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday. Today is August 18th, 2016. It's 5:09. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Seems like a reasonable request there from our morning news montage opening the show. The Green Party and also the third-party candidate for the Libertarian, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein there. Reasonable request. Seems like they should be included in the debates. What do you think about that? It's getting down to the down and dirty time when the debates start getting scheduled and all of those things need to be worked out. They certainly want a voice. They have to have a certain amount of showing, though, in the polls to do that. And there is a question about whether or not they do based on the margin of error, something that we'll be following throughout the day, business day here on 720 WGN. First, though, to the WGN market desk, let's find out what happened around the world last night. Asian stocks rose after Wall Street opened higher on news that the U.S. Federal Reserve is apparently in no hurry to raise interest rates. Japan's benchmark fell after July trade declined. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow rose just 0.1%. The S&P gained a little bit as well. The Nasdaq inched up, too. The dollar edged up to $1.17 from Wednesday's 98.84 yen. The euro strengthened as well yesterday. The day ahead today in the economy, we have a couple of big reports out today. The Labor Department will issue its report on first-time applications for jobless benefits. Last week, a gauge of the pace of layoffs, if any, over the past week, which have remained consistently low. Last week, I believe it was just 3,000 new job benefits, new jobless claims filed across the entire country. We'll see if that continued this week. Yesterday, we'll continue with our reports from big companies. Those reporting quarterly financial results include Walmart today. We expect to have Walmart's numbers before the end of this broadcast. Gap will also report, but they'll do that after the market closes later today. And Freddie Mac, the mortgage giant Freddie Mac, will report on long-term mortgage rates for this week. Just a couple of other stories to note. In Japan, there are reports the country has posted a trade surplus of about 513 billion yen, and that would be down 14% from a year earlier. The fall in exports outpaced by a nearly 25% drop in imports, suggesting a persistent weakness in domestic demand in that country. We'll see if that has any impact on our markets as we move forward here today. Also today, we're learning that Oak Brook-based McDonald's is going to stop distributing Happy Meals with activity trackers inside of them. This was an apparent attempt by McDonald's to get kids moving, but it's not working out so great. The chain says it will no longer distribute those activity trackers in Happy Meals, mainly because of quality issues with those trackers. This has been something that the company had been trying in select markets across the country, not yet fully spread to all of their markets across the country this morning. On to our first guest this morning. We've been talking a lot lately about automobiles here on the show, and there are a lot of trends about who's buying what. And the fall is generally a good time to be buying a car. And we thought we'd circle back to Ford because there's a new brand study out that says Gen Xers may be flocking to that new Ford Explorer Sport. And we're joined this morning by one of the marketing brand managers at Ford this morning, Omar O'Day, who's with us on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for being with us today. We've been seeing a lot of different studies showing interest in the Ford Explorer and the Ford Explorer Sport. This one, I know the millennials have been really interested in Ford Explorer, but this one is surprising because it shows the Gen Xers are. Tell us a little about what you found.
Yeah, we just recently conducted some research, and what we found is that Gen Xers are at a rate of almost 40% of our Explore Sports sales are to Gen Xers. And what we found talking to those Gen Xers is they're attracted to the Explore Sport specifically because, unlike the boomer generation that felt like they had to buy something like a luxury brand, the Gen Xers are a lot more practical and are buying something like the Explore, and mainly because of the value for the money and the exterior styling and the performance that it delivers.
I want to get into more of the study a little bit later in our conversation, but if maybe you could give us a sense of how the Explore and the Explore Sport are different.
So the main differences are the Explore Sport is the performance model. It has nearly 100 horsepower more, and so that's very important to this generation because it's got a lot of power, pickup, and performance at nearly 365 horsepower from our EcoBoost motor. The other key thing is the styling. The styling, it's got big wheels on it, all these dark features, and it looks a lot like what you'll find from a premium brand, but without necessarily that high price. Starting at around $45,000, a relative German or Japanese luxury brand would be nearly $20,000 more.
We're on with Omar O'Day this morning, Ford Explorer Sport brand manager, and we're going to get into more of what the study has found as our conversation continues this morning here on our opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian stocks rose today after Wall Street edged higher on news the U.S. Federal Reserve is in no hurry to raise interest rates. Stocks managed some small gains Wednesday. Big advances for utilities mostly canceled out losses for retailers like Lowe's, Target, and Staples. Investors have been studying the minutes from the most recent Federal Reserve meeting. There is no sign of a rush to raise interest rates, but concerns about risks to the economy have eased. The Dow finished the day with a gain of about 22 points. The S&P 500 gained 4 points. The NASDAQ composite inched up more than a point. Cisco Systems says it will lay off 5,500 employees this summer. That's about 7% of Cisco's roughly 74,000 workers. Cisco's business has been hurt as more of its corporate customers rely on remote data centers. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 520. We're on with Omar O'Day. He's the Ford Explorer Sport Marketing Brand Manager. And we're talking about this new survey that Gen Xers seem to be flocking to this Ford Explorer Sport. And Omar, it's interesting because, the last time we spoke with Ford about this, the millennials were headed to just the regular Ford Explorer. They liked that. Let's get into more of what it is about this sport that the Gen Xers seem to like. And before we go there, let's remind people who the Gen Xers are generally in age.
Generally in age, they're somewhere around 38 to around in their early 50s. So they're the generation right after what we've been talking a lot about lately, which is the millennials.
Now, is there a sense among some of these Gen Xers that this sporty vehicle, and by the way, if you haven't seen the Ford Explorer Sport, if you're in Chicago, it is the vehicle that the police department uses. It's the SUV, I believe, version. Sort of similar to that, so you get an idea of what it is. Is it maybe the Gen Xers are looking for something more sporty?
Yeah, more sporty and more performance. The sportiness, it does have a differentiated interior and exterior and really looks like something different than your standard Explorer and, at a big value. What we found with those Gen Xers is that they like to spend their money on other things. They like to spend it on experiences and going out and hiking and mountain biking, and something like the Explorer Sport allows that because you can get a lower payment than buying a premium vehicle, and then you can spend that money on more lifestyle items versus just having a vehicle in your driveway going from point A to B.
And that would certainly explain the horsepower end of this. This has got a lot of power under the hood. If you have people who are off-roading or maybe going camping or in those other settings, they would need that, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. 365 horsepower, not only for when you're doing anything off-road, but on-road, when you're trying to merge onto highways or get away from the traffic light, you're talking about almost 400 horsepower. It's a great SUV, and it's absolutely like a rocket ship because with our EcoBoost technology, that V6, That's the same base V6 EcoBoost that we're using in our new Ford GT supercar that's going to have over 600 horsepower. So we know how to make that engine really go.
What is the study telling you about the salaries of the people, the salary ranges of the people that are choosing this Ford Explorer Sport?
So what's very unique is that with Explorer, we're attracting different customers. Your base Explorer, our average salary is somewhere around $110,000, $115,000. But your Explorer Sport is closer to $175,000 to $185,000. So what it's saying is you're really getting that customer that could choose to buy a premium brand but is choosing to buy the Ford based on that styling and performance and really what the Explorer Sport delivers.
The horsepower end of this, we've had this discussion a couple of times with cars, with new models of cars coming out and this SUV craze. Do consumers, are they getting into the dangerous territory here? Because are we going to have gas prices this low forever? And eventually they're going to have to be paying more for gas for these vehicles, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, looking at also all the automotive projected gas prices will go up. So with this next generation of Explorer Sport, this new one that we debuted in 2016, we actually took the fuel economy up even higher. So even as we're getting more horsepower, thanks to our EcoBoost technology, we're able to actually deliver better fuel economy for the consumer. So even with over 365 horsepower, the customer is still going to get over 25 miles per gallon combined when they're driving the Explorer Sport. So for their adventures and wherever they go, a lot of consumers find that very, very appealing.
And give us a sense of comparative notion with that, with those fuel economies. What would, let's say, the old Explorer be compared to this one?
So when you look at something like the old previous Explorers with the V8s that we built in the 90s, those, when we considered those gas guzzlers, those were getting in the teens. And I think that's the big shift towards SUVs. And what's happened is with vehicles like the Ford Explorer, we have a smaller EcoBoost engine that you can get almost 30 miles per gallon. And we have many SUVs that deliver over 30 miles an hour, 30 miles per gallon. So we know that consumers, even at higher gas prices, are still going to continue to choose SUVs. We saw the big shift to SUVs happen actually while gas was still about $4 a gallon back in late 2012.
And this it continues. If I understand the research correctly, the fuel economy is only going to get better, and the sweet spot is in the 30s, right, for some of these vehicles?
Absolutely. I mean, once you've exceeded a certain amount of fuel economy, specifically what you mentioned in the high 20s and 30s, even at $4 and $5 gas, consumers are very satisfied. And we're able to push even our largest SUVs, pickup trucks, into those ranges. So it's a really exciting time, and we have vehicles like the Ford Explorer Sport and even the base Explorer that deliver on that promise to the consumer.
When we talked about the millennials going to the Ford Explorer, there are a couple of cool little technical improvements inside, a few gadgets as well. Are those bells and whistles included in the Sport, or are they extra?
They're included. The Sport is actually a very high trim series, and that's what's attracting a lot of the luxury customers. Over 30% of our Explorer Sport customers cross-shop a luxury brand, and that's because you're able to get the panoramic roofs, the latest stereos, navigations, the heated, cooled seats. A lot of the stuff that you used to only find on the premium brands is now available. So there's no sacrifice in having to come out of a premium vehicle like a Range Rover or Mercedes into an Explorer Sport.
Omar O'Day, who is the Ford Explorer marketing brand manager, the Ford Explorer Sport marketing brand manager. Omar, thanks for getting up with us and being on the Opening Bell this morning.
Thank you so much. And let's not forget, the Ford Explorer is built in Chicago.
Absolutely. We want to keep it built right here. Thank you, Omar. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Omar O'Day again from Ford.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. The next salesperson you encounter at the mall could be a robot.
My name is Pepper, and welcome to Beta.
It's Pepper's first day on the job. She's greeting customers and answering questions at the Beta Electronics store in California. Vibhu Norby is CEO.
Pepper will be talking to customers, greeting them, telling them about Beta, telling them about itself, or himself.
I'm so glad to finally be here in the United States.
Pepper was created in France and quickly scooped up by Japanese firm SoftBank Robotics, where it worked in mobile phone stores and car dealerships. Steve Carvin is American VP for SoftBank.
The form factor is a little different than R2-D2. It has arms that are meant to be used to help engage with you and create that empathy.
And Pepper can empathize right back.
I can detect feelings, like when you're happy or sad.
SoftBank says this robot assistant will be affordably priced for small businesses and equipped with a 12-hour battery. Pepper never needs a break.
And also play the air guitar.
With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:38 on this Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Our conversation turning now to the movies and a new remake, out soon. Ben-Hur, you remember that movie, don't you? Paramount is remaking it. And it's let's play a little bit of the clip before I tell you.
No matter where you're from, this ship is your body. That drum is your heartbeat. And your God.
That's Morgan Freeman, Jack Houston, in the Ben-Hur official trailer that was released a little earlier this year. The movie's been making the rounds of the reviewers over the last few days. And reviewers have not liked this movie at all. We're going to bring into our conversation this morning Dale Buss, who is a writer for Brand Channel, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, among others. And Dale, good morning. Welcome to the show again.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve.
The headline that I'm going to read, as I've been looking at some of the reviews of this, this could be the summer's biggest flops, is one of them, with a possible $100 million loss. That's not really good news for Paramount, which had some real high hopes for this movie, didn't they?
Well, that's certainly a prospect, but I'll tell you, let's get back to that in a second, because I really think, despite these bad initial reviews, that the Ben-Hur remake, which opens tomorrow, by the way, is one of the most interesting plot lines of the summer. I mean, think of it this way. Can a classic movie hero, once played by Charlton Heston, come back and rescue Hollywood from its disastrous summer? The early reviews, suggest not. I mean, Paramount's had a really bad two-year run, but maybe Ben-Hur can prove that the faith movie genre still has legs. And maybe it can prove that this what was the best-selling novel of the 19th century still has some storytelling relevance even in the 21st century. Yeah, Ben-Hur's gotten bad reviews so far, but, that really doesn't necessarily doom it to flopping at the box office. Here's why. The Christian audience, which is being targeted for marketing for this movie, is among the most independent-minded constituencies for movie watching, and, they're being wooed like crazy. I mean, there's advertisements on Christian radio. Heroes like Rush Limbaugh are telling them that Ben-Hur is worth seeing. So the jury, to me, is still kind of out. And if you're Paramount, I mean, you can't necessarily be dismayed, because after all, the last movie that Paramount had that came out was Florence Foster Jenkins, of all things.
Right.
And that came out last weekend, and that only got $8 million at the box office the first weekend. And Meryl Streep is in that. So I don't think Ben-Hur is going to be on that kind of level for Paramount.
Well, give us a little bit of a history lesson, Dale. Because when the first Ben-Hur, the original Ben-Hur came out, this was a huge, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was more than just a movie, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, interestingly, Ben-Hur is a novel that was written by a man named Lew Wallace. And he was a Civil War general who was just really colorful and interesting figure in the late 1800s, and there were a couple reasons for that. One is that he either got lost or he lost his nerve. History isn't exactly clear on what happens, but he was leading a regiment at the Civil War Battle of Shiloh, And 26,000 men were killed in that battle, and Wallace's regiment arrived late at the battle. And for whatever reason, it happened. His reputation was sullied, you know, forever. Here, he was a war hero, and then suddenly he was a goat and maybe worse. Well, then General Wallace had a two-hour conversation on a train with the man who was widely known in America at that time as the leading agnostic. He was kind of like the Madeline Murray O'Hare of his time. His name was Bruce Ingersoll. And after that conversation about God, you know, with Bruce Ingersoll, Wallace was, you know, disturbed spiritually and mentally. He decided to investigate Jesus Christ. And he ended up writing a novel about him. The novel was Ben-Hur, which became the literary sensation of that era. It became the best-selling novel of the 19th century. And then it actually went on to become a Broadway, an off-Broadway play from, you know, like the early 1900s into the 20s. Finally, there was a silent film in 1925, and of course, everybody knows that Cecil B. DeMille got his hands on it, and the Charlton Heston version came out in 1959. So there's a really interesting history behind this story, and I know that some early sort of previews of this version of the movie said that the resonance of this story and the quality of the story, you know, may be enough to carry interest in the film. Of course, these early reviews that have come out this week have said it's just not all that well executed.
Well, and it's worth repeating, too, the book, again, became not just the best-selling novel of a year, but of a century.
Yes, the entire 19th century.
Right, and so it there's the whole audience of people who have not seen this or heard of this yet, these millennials, and is there any hope that Paramount might be able to grasp some of them in this?
Well, certainly. I mean, the highlight of this movie, obviously, is the chariot race scene toward the end, and there have been conflicting reviews, let's say, about how well executed that is. But, you know, in general, I think that people are millennials, boomers, everybody's looking for a good story. And I think that's really what's been lacking in this season of Hollywood, where you've got all these remakes of, you know, superhero stories and just sort of very formulaic kind of lame things, a lot of sequels. And the one reason I think that Ben-Hur, well, two reasons. One is, as I mentioned, the faith audience likes to make up their own mind. And the second reason I think Ben-Hur may have a chance and may help Paramount this year is that it's a different kind of movie. It didn't used to be a different kind of movie, but in telling a good, solid story without animation and, you know, CGI all over the place. I mean, there is a lot of it, but it's still based on its story. It may actually have a chance to draw people in that some of these other remakes and sequels like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot and Zoolander 2, Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, just didn't have a chance to do this summer.
You've hit it on the nail, I think, Dale, and that is there's this three formulas, I think, that are going around Hollywood and have been stuck in this rotation, it seems, for several years now. As somebody who deals with brands and covers brands and knows how this whole thing works, I mean, they have to break out of that cycle, don't they?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, there's probably no bigger pack mentality in the world other than journalists, than Hollywood directors. And, you know, they see what's worked. I mean, they see the success of some of these comic book, you know, Marvel superhero franchises like Iron Man, for instance, has done really well. Captain America, the remake that came out this summer, Civil War, did very well. But I think that maybe the thinking in Hollywood now is we need fresh, original content. We got to stop tapping into all sorts of sequels. And really niche audiences. I mean, what is, you know, do you really think that Florence Foster Jenkins has a chance to get any more than a couple million dollars more in box office? It's about a bad singer.
Right.
That's the whole point of the movie. And, I mean, you got to give Paramount credit for taking a shot at it. But Ben-Hur might be one of those things that still resonates yet. And, you know, I think a lot of people will give it a chance this weekend. They don't jump right on the reviews necessarily.
Yeah, because I mean, because in the end, there are a lot of us out there that have a couple of bucks in our wallet that wouldn't mind going to see a movie, a really good movie. So we're just waiting for it.
Yeah, and interestingly, Paramount decided to open on Friday, not Thursday. I'm not sure why so many movies open on Thursday now, if they think they're going to get good initial buzz. Paramount may have feared this is not going to get good initial buzz, but it'll be really interesting to see come Sunday, Monday, you know, what the attendance figures are. And you know, old Ben-Hur may have more life in it than some people are already willing to give it.
Well, I'm willing to see it just for that chariot scene, to see what the newer technology and filmmaking has done to that scene. That will be worth it, I think, in itself.
And the narration of Morgan Freeman, sure, who, you know, always seems to play some kind of godlike figure. He's right in it.
He could narrate a phone book, and I think it would win an Oscar.
Exactly.
All right, Dale Buss, thank you for joining us again this morning on The Opening Bell. Buss on Twitter. You can follow him. Work with Brand Channel, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, among others.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:52 on the WGN Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing toward opening losses when the opening bell rings later this morning. Dow futures are off 2 points right now. The S&P NASDAQ futures are lower as well this morning. Let's find out what's happening on the commodities markets. And here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. That soybean market just isn't quitting, thanks to the Chinese, because Chicago soybeans overnight slid a little bit as the market took a breather after climbing to a four-week high on the back of strong purchases by top importer China. Wheat fell about 0.5% in the early overnight Asian trade. Corn little changed after rising marginally in yesterday's session. But yesterday morning, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported that private exporters reported the sale of 381,000 tons of soybeans to China for delivery during the 2016-17 marketing year. But besides that, USDA also said exporters reported the sale of 129,000 tons of soybeans to unknown destinations. On the livestock side, at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, lean hog contracts finished higher thanks to short covering after Tuesday's sell-off and then yesterday morning's wholesale pork price rebound. As a result, October lean hogs ended $1.15 higher after falling almost $3 per hundredweight the day before. Yesterday's wholesale pork price jumped $1.31 per hundredweight to $75.27. So, we look at state fairs. Yes, the Iowa State Fair, the Illinois State Fair, and the Indiana State Fair all going on right now. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Before we leave today, we want to remind you that the next Technori is coming up on August 30th, and the topic is wearable works. It's going to be sponsored by J.P. Morgan Chase. There's tickets still available for that. You can head over to Eventbrite and at Technori to find out more. And speaking of Technori, our friend Scott Catoon, who is the CEO of Technori, has just posted a new podcast, and it's very interesting. You'll want to tune in for this one. It's about peanut butter get. And I'm going to just leave that out there. But this has something to do with helping young millennials who are entering the workforce pay off their student loans. It's just a benefit when you go work for a new employer. How would you like for them to pay off your student loan, or at least some of it? That's the gist of Scott Catoon's latest podcast on Technori. You can tune in at WGN Plus. Again, it's Peanut Butter Get on Twitter at Peanut Butter Get. You can follow Scott at Catoon and at Technori. And don't forget the next Technori, August 30th.